Luke 17. We'll begin reading. This message has been burning on my heart since Daytona. Luke 17, and we're going to start reading at verse 22. Lefty had this last time, so it's not on my head straight. And he said to his disciples, this is Jesus speaking, "The days will come when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. They will say to you, 'Look there, look here.' Do not go away and do not run after them. For just as a lightning, when it flashes from one part of the sky, shines to the other part of the sky, so will the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And just as it happened in the days of Noah, so it'll also be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage until that day Noah entered the ark. And then the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same as happened in the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, they were building. But on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just the same on the day that the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, the one who is on the housetop and whose goods are in the house must not go down to take them out, and likewise the one who is in the field must not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. I will tell you that on that night there will be two in one bed, and one will be taken and the other will be left. There will be two women grinding at the same place, one will be taken and the other will be left. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other will be left." And answering, they said to him, "Where, Lord?" And he said to them, "Where the body is, there will the vultures be gathered." Lord, I pray that your anointing will rest upon your word. And Lord, that we will be inspired as a church to be on the alert, to be ready and watching. And Lord, that all those who you would have call upon your name before that great day, Lord, that you will inspire and call them. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So, I'm talking this morning about the tribulation. And I think a lot of us have heard and we've preached on it a lot, but it's not a topic that Pastor Dan and I feel comfortable just preaching once and saying we've done it and putting it away. It's something you need to know about, but it's more than that. It's something that you need to keep stirred up in your heart. Because when I read Scripture, when I look at Scripture as a whole and all throughout Scripture, what I'm seeing is, church, that is a very important time for us. When we're thinking of the tribulation, when we're thinking of the rapture, that should inspire something in us. And if we lose thought of it, if we let it go back into the dusty places of our mind, we lose our inspiration. We lose a sense of purpose and a sense of urgency that I think is very necessary for the church to have. And so I want to first clear up some misunderstanding about the tribulation and just about God's plan for man. Andrew's going to put a slide up here of a diagram. And this is, I want to explain where we get the idea of the tribulation from. The idea of 7 years in Revelations, it's broken down into 3.5 and 3.5 years put together. It's also conglomerated as 7 years put together. Daniel speaks of this 7-year period. He breaks it away from the 70x7 judgment against Israel. That period is treated separately with the coming of the Messiah is what breaks that period off from the others. And we're going to talk about that period is the church age. The church age, which is where we are right now, begins with the death and resurrection of Jesus. And church age ends with the rapture of the church. And it just makes sense. Now, there's some discussion. Will the tribulation take place in the second that the church is raptured out of the world, or will there be a period of time in between the rapture and the beginning of the tribulation? I don't know. We're not given that information. But the church ages where we are right now, this is a time of grace. And so it's important that we understand that there is a seven-year period of intense judgment that is yet to come, that is yet to be fulfilled. As I said, when Daniel prophesied of the tribulation and the judgment against Israel, he used the 70 times 7, and at a certain point, after 69 of the 77 years had been passed, Jesus would walk into Jerusalem. And I know I've said this before, but for those of you who maybe haven't heard this, that Jesus walked into Jerusalem on the exact day prophesied by Daniel. Is there a funny sound? No? Okay. So he walked in, prophecy of Daniel was to begin with the decree to build the temple. That decree to build the temple is one of the most known dates in antiquity. All historians know the day that they sent that decree out. It's well documented, and we know the exact day. And the day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem was to the day of Daniel's prophecy. When I'm telling you that prophecy is accurate, it is incredibly accurate. When I read scripture and I see things, I just get goosebumps. I get so excited about the accuracy. I told you in Revelations, when it's talking about the seven-year period of tribulation, it actually gives you numbers of days. Numbers of days. And that, to me, speaks of a God who is in charge and who is in control. And we need to be paying very close attention to what his word declares here concerning the tribulation period. First of all, the tribulation period is a time of great judgment. Just looking at our text in Luke 17, verse 27. The flood came and destroyed them all, it says in verse 27. There's judgment. In verse 29, it rained fire and brimstone in heaven from heaven and destroyed them all. Verse 30, and it will be just the same on the day that the Son of Man is revealed. There is a time of judgment. The 70 times 7 already in Scripture is a time of judgments. Words that are used to describe the 70 weeks, wrath, I have a list there, wrath, judgment, indignation, punishment, hour of trial, hour of trouble, destruction, darkness. Coincidentally, Jesus and Peter are talking about forgiveness to tell you that the church age is not part of the tribulation. In the church age, Peter says to Jesus, how often should I forgive my brother? He says 70 times 7. See, the church is not about judgment. And I want to bring that out now while I'm talking about judgment. Because judgment is for God and it is reserved for a special day. And we are not about judgment. We are in a time of mercy. And forgiveness, and the grace of God. Matthew 24, verses 21 to 22 read like this. For then there will be a great tribulation, such as not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will be. Unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. This is a time of great tribulation. Some would suggest that the church is going to go through the tribulation. I completely disagree with that. I think that the scripture is evidence that we won't be, but I will go into that more. There is so much that is going to take place in the tribulation period that I can't possibly get through it all this morning. But there's going to be the seals and the trumpets and the bowls. It says one third of the sea life is going to die. The waters are going to be poisoned. The ships are going to be destroyed. At one point, one third of the world's land is going to be burned by fire. One third of the world's land. I wanted to get an idea what that's going to look like. So I went and Googled how many miles in the world and square miles and all the continents and how much each was. And I added it up and I divided it by three. And then I tried to figure out which continent it would be close to. It is like all of North America and then some. To give you a picture, all of Eurasia is one-third of the world's landmass. One-third of the world's population is going to be wiped out during this time of judgment. Clearly, this is a time of judgment. There's 7.3 billion people in the world right now. 2.4 billion people will be wiped out in one judgment. We can't wrap our head around this. We can't, it's too much for us. We've never seen it. The worst disaster ever recorded in the world that took the most human lives was 230,000, and that was in year 1138. The tsunami in Japan was 15,890 people. We're talking 2.4 billion people. That's just one judgment. It is a time of judgment. Jesus said, if I hadn't cut those days short, nobody would survive. The scripture teaches us another important fact about the tribulation. Not only is it just a time of judgment, but the majority of the people are not going to see it coming. Now that baffles me, because as I was preparing this, I was looking for all the warnings, all the description of what the Bible gives us that leads up to this day. What does the Bible tell us about the day, and how do we know when it's going to come? And the Bible gives us an incredible amount of information to warn us when that day is approaching. We see in our text that they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until that day when Noah entered, and when Lot, they were eating and drinking, they were buying, they were selling, planting, they were building. Life was going on as normal. When destruction came, and Jesus said it's going to be the same. People are going to just be carrying on, and this day is going to catch them off guard. So they were asking Jesus many times, what are some of the signs? When do we know when the tribulation is about to occur? People want to know this. If the world is going to be as horrifying a situation as we see in Scripture for the tribulation period, when is this coming? Well, one of the signs that we were given in Scripture many times over again, number 8, Israel must become a nation. Well, that was impossible even 100 years ago. People could not even imagine this. The Israel people managed to maintain their nationality, their integrity, for thousands of years, even though they never had their own country. I don't know of another race of people that's been able to do that. They don't have their own country. They did not assimilate into other cultures. They did not become other nationalities. They remained Israel's a Jewish nation. And on May 14th, 1948, Israel became a nation. Something that was one of those little things that prior to the occurrence of that, people would think, well, boy, the Bible's wrong. Israel will never become a nation, or it'll be like a spiritual nation. But they never, ever thought that the Bible would be so accurate as to describe Israel becoming a nation. But the most interesting part is it says from that time on, one generation would not pass. One generation generally is 70 years. We're flexible on that. But I want to tell you something. If it is a strict 70 years, it's right on top of us. It's right on top of us. That was one of the first signs. The clock is beginning to tick and we're getting close to the end. It says in Daniel 12:4 that there's going to be a noticeable increase in knowledge. I have seen this noticeable increase in knowledge in my own lifespan with the inauguration of Google. I want to know something. I don't run for my encyclopedia set anymore. And thank goodness I don't. I don't even know where it is. But even when I did, my encyclopedia was like 10 years old, so information was a little out of date. You want to know something? You Google it. It's that easy. You want to see who's doing what? You Google it. We have incredible amount of knowledge at our fingertips, and we have just glided into that, and we take that for granted. And the Bible prophesied that there would this noticeable increase in knowledge. People learning but not able to come to the knowledge of the truth, though. because they're coming so wise in their own eyes that they believe that God was being foolish, and yet God said they would be, you know, get this knowledge. Rapid transit around the globe, again, Daniel 12:4. Timothy 3:1 talks about the change in our culture, the corruption of morals, corruption of sound doctrine, the corruption of our society. It reads like this, it's up there. Realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self. I don't know that we've ever had a time where the average individual has become so selfish and so all about themselves and not about their neighbors. Lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, not dedicated to God, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious, gossips. People chew other people up. So horrifying. You see this? And I'm not just talking about Christians here. I know we all have our problems. But you watch some of these celebrities and they get chewed up. You have to have a really thick skin if you're going to be in the public eye in these days. Malicious, malicious gossips. And I lost my place. Without self-control, thank you. Brutal. This age is the most brutal age. Someone was teasing me the other day about, I love Columbo. And I'm not knocking those of you who like CSI or anything like that, but I can't stand the show. It's so brutal. But I like Columbo because it's not brutal. It's bad, I guess, but it's not as brutal as what we see today. It's kind of lame, in fact. Haters of good. I'll tell you what, this world today hates what is good. If you stand for something good, you are mocked. Yes, thank you for that. And so we've seen that the world has come around and they hate what is good. Treacherous. Reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. This is putting your own needs before serving God. I'm going to maybe rattle a cage here a little bit, but you know what? That's what fasting is all about. Fasting is all about putting down the flesh and getting spiritual and saying, I am going to put down my fleshly desires so that I can elevate my spiritual desires. I'm going to sacrifice to be more spiritual. We don't hear many people fasting anymore. Among them are those who enter households and captivate weak women weighed down with sins, led by on various impulses, and the rest we'll read later. Matthew 24, and I won't read that whole chapter, signs of the coming of Jesus Christ, wars and rumors of wars, famines, earthquakes, animosity towards Christians, false religions, false doctrines being purported. Man, I'll tell you, I had a call yesterday from someone who heard one and said, what? Many will fall away from the faith. The churches are shrinking. People are falling away from the faith. It says lawlessness will increase. And boy, don't we see that around the world. Even, and I never thought I would see the day on the North American continent, people who carry authority abuse it. And it's become a lawless society and anarchy is beginning to come in. And it says people are going to become hardened and they're going to be desensitized. We are so desensitized. And it says this, the gospel will be preached around the world. These warning signs, brothers and sisters, are not for the rapture. These warning signs are for the tribulation, which is after the rapture. So you can be sure that if these signs, and we see them very evident in our world, if they are starting to come to pass, you can be sure that the rapture is right on our doorstep. Matthew 24, 36 to 39 reiterates what we read already in Luke, but I'm going to read it because there's a part of it that Luke has left out. And it's, but that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone knows that day. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. Again, the days of Noah was a time of great judgment. For in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. Verse 39, And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will the coming of the Son of Man be. People are not going to understand until it's too late. And church, we have a responsibility to get that to them, to let them know, to make ourselves aware. I get asked by people all the time, Judy, what are some of the things that we should be watching for? And I start my list. Get familiar. Learn what are the signs, because brothers and sisters, it is upon us. I believe it is imminent. It could happen before I'm done preaching, praise God. Just a little example here. When I was a kid, I had a little Jack in the Box. Some of you guys are going to remember these. They're big metal boxes. Like, mine was massive. Of course, I was a kid. Maybe it wasn't that big, but it felt like it was huge to me. And you turn the knob. Ba-bum, ba-bum, ba-ba-ba-ba-bum, ba-bum, 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 bum, ba-bum, ba-bum, ba-ba-ba-ba-bum, boom. And as the jack, it would always jump up. It would always scare me. I would always jump and say, okay, this time I'm not going to do it. This time I'm not going to do it. And I said, I'll go really fast. And it always, even though the guy popped up at the same part in the song every time, it still caught me off guard. Even though I was expecting it, it still caught me off guard. Brothers and sisters, let's not get caught off guard with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let it be a wonderful day for us. Let us be watching. Matthew 24, 42 to 45 says this, therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known what time of the night the thief was coming, he'd have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you must be ready. You must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. He's not going to come when we expect. It's going to catch a lot of people off guard. But here's the good news. We know that the tribulation is a time of judgment. We know that the majority of the people are not going to see it coming. But the beautiful thing is, and I hope to give you some joy and put your mind at rest, the church is not going through the tribulation. I talked a bit already about what the church age is, and we're going to put that diagram back up there. And the church age, that big, beautiful slide number 16. The church age, I had mentioned, begins with the coming of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is talking about the day of the Lord. And he says this when he's talking about the day of the Lord. I told you, it begins with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The day of the Lord, brothers and sisters, is everything from the tribulation forward into the millennial reign. That is what we call in scripture and theology the day of the Lord. And they're asking Jesus about the tribulation. But Jesus says this, before that happens, but first, verse 25, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. First, we have to have the church age. First, we have to have a time of the gospel before that great, terrible day of the Lord. It is important that we don't miss Jesus' word. And he was talking about life going on. That's important for us not to miss. The other thing is very important for us to not miss is that in the situations in the scripture that we're looking at today, it also ratifies that because it talked about Noah and it talked about Lot. And we know that with Noah, he was taken out of the flood. He was delivered from the flood. He did not go through the judgment. Lot was removed from Sodom and Gomorrah before God brought judgment down on Sodom and Gomorrah. Just as it was in those days, so it will be. The church will be removed before the judgment. It is as obvious that is what the scripture is clearly saying here. It'll be just the same on the day that the Son of Man is revealed. Church, you will not be in the tribulation. There is a lot of information in Scripture that will ratify this, but I just want to touch on a few. And I already said one, the church is not about judgment. 1 Thessalonians 5:9-11. God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another just as you're doing. God has not destined us for wrath. Remember before I had that screen up, what the words are in Scripture. It's a time of great wrath, a crime of great judgment. We know that because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we are cleansed from all sin. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, we are not going to be punished for our sin. If we are going through the tribulation, then that is not true. Because the tribulation is about judgment. It's about punishment. And we are covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. We will not be involved in the judgment. We have been delivered from it. It is the victory of Jesus Christ for everyone who believes on Jesus. Amen? We are not going to be there. Another point, we are to be caught up in the air with Christ. We're going to be in heaven with Christ prior to the tribulation. At the end of the tribulation, Scripture teaches that we come back with Christ when he rules and reigns on the earth. So you see, we're going up, we're there through the tribulation, and we come down. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18 tells us that we are going up. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of an archangel with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. So shall we always be with the Lord. That's up. Zechariah 14:5, I'm just going to read to the other half of the verse. Then the Lord my God will come, and this is at the end of the tribulation, with all the holy ones with him. Now, if we're going to be at going through the tribulation, what do? Go up and down again? That would be silly. No, we are taken up for the time of judgment. And that when that time of judgment is done, we return with Christ back to the earth to rule and reign with him. These are powerful scriptures that supports that the church will be removed before the tribulation. So church, you are not going to go through the tribulation. Paul had to deal with this. You know, back when Paul was teaching and some things we sort of expect people to know, and Paul sort of expected them to know certain things. He had told them certain things about the tribulation period. He had done some teaching there in Thessalonia, but they were worried because some of the people were saying, see, the church was being persecuted, first of all, and there's great persecution for those who receive Christ after the rapture. They will be greatly persecuted for their faith. They will have to die for their faith or serve the Antichrist, which means they would lose their salvation. So during the tribulation, there are people who are going to come to know Christ, but it's not going to be good. So there's scriptures that talk about that, and so we see there's persecution of those who would believe in God during the tribulation period, and they thought, oh, we're in the tribulation period, because they were being horribly treated. They were losing their homes, their properties, they couldn't do business, they were being forced, they were being murdered, they were being tortured publicly. It was the great ha-ha of the day, and they were for sure thinking they were in the tribulation. But Paul said, 2 Thessalonians 2:6-7. Paul is trying to put their minds at rest. Basically, what he's saying here is, you're still here. You're not in the tribulation because you're still here. You know what restrains him. What restrains him is the Antichrist in this topic. You know what restrains him, the Antichrist, now, so that in his time he will be revealed. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. That restrainer, as we say, you can look at that scripture and you can analyze it and you can look back and forth from Genesis to Revelation and you can try to figure out who is restraining the Antichrist. The church. The church age is restraining the Antichrist. We are keeping him from being able to come into full power. And so, church, we have to be gone before he assumes full power. And so there's deeper teaching on this, but I think that is a lot for one day. There's three important facts about the tribulation. The tribulation is a time of judgment. And the majority of the people are not going to be expecting it. And thirdly, the church is not going through the tribulation. Amen. What do we do with a message like that? I'm going to read again that Matthew 24, 42 to 45. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. Be sure of this. If the head of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you must be ready. Be ready. The Son of Man is coming in an hour when you do not think he will. Do not sit back and let the cares of this life cause you to drift away from the purpose and the calling of the church. Preaching the gospel, telling people about Jesus Christ, is not just the pastor's job. More people get saved over a cup of coffee in somebody's kitchen than they do in church, I believe. I think that this is every part of the church is responsible for putting the gospel out there. When you see a coworker who is hurting, you go to them and you show the love of Christ. And when God opens that door, you show them the love of Christ for real, as allowing them to receive him as their personal savior. That is the role of the church. We are called to preach the gospel in every nation all around this globe. That is the role of the church. We need to be praying, obviously, praying for those who don't know Christ. Don't get slack in your prayer life and let it slide. See, we need these facts so that we can prepare for the day when the Lord comes. I did a little survey with people I know, and I asked them, when I talk about the rapture and tribulation, or when you think about the rapture and tribulation, what emotions do you have? That's a hard question. But every single person I asked gave me, I only asked for two emotions, and every single person gave me the same two answers, except Darren. Where is he? He's a saint. Darren says, I get excited. I want to go. Most people said it strikes fear in their hearts. Fear for people who don't know the Lord. The imagining of loved ones not going to see Jesus is unthinkable and unbearable. Now, I want you to be gentle with them. Don't go, oh, you got to get saved or you're going to burn. That doesn't really lead many people to Christ. It's true. Maybe one or two. Be ready. Don't let that day catch you unaware and say, oh, I wish I'd have prayed more. Oh, I wish I'd have said something. I wish I'd have asked my friend to come to church. I wish I'd have been more loving in that situation. I wished I'd have been more generous. Don't let that day catch you off guard. Church, keep your focus. And let that day of the Lord be what it's supposed to be to the believer. A day of joy and excitement. We're going to see our King. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. All our cares and all our worries are going to be gone. And we are going to be rejoicing in the presence of God. It's going to be the best worship service ever. Luke 21:28 reads like this. But when these things begin to take place, church, when you see this stuff beginning, I think we've seen near fulfillment of it. Amen? There's more, but I just didn't want to bring all of it in. We have seen such fulfillment of Scripture, and it says, when you see these things begin to take place, straighten up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. God would not tell you that if he is going to leave you here for the tribulation, by the way. There's no way. You're going to go, oh, goody, tribulation time. No, we're not going to be here. Our redemption is drawing near because the tribulation is drawing near. And we see it so clearly that I am like the people I asked. When I'm asked, I get scared when I think about the tribulation. I get very scared. I get scared about my loved ones. And there are many who are not serving the Lord like they should be. who know better. I get scared about just the trial on people, good people. They're going to face this judgment. I want everyone in this room to bow your head. This is a personal moment. If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Judy, I don't know if the Lord were to return, if I would go with Christ to be in glory. I don't know if I would get raptured, but I want to be sure. I want to be sure. I don't want to be fearful of the coming of the Lord. I want to be sure. I want you to slide your hand in the air. I'm going to pray with you this morning. Is there anyone that would say, I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? I want to go. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Hi, Pastor Jeff. We love you, guy. Is there anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Children, I love when children raise their hand. God bless. We're going to pray with you all. Everyone's going to pray together. And those of you who raised your hand, I'm trusting that you are going to feel something from the Holy Spirit as he bears witness with yours that you've become a child of God. So just everybody repeat after me, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus, who gives me grace and cleanses me from all sin, that I may be with you. Forgive me of my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Come into my heart and rule. Be my God. Be my deliverer. I thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen. It's as simple as that, as a prayer asking God to forgive you. When you make that prayer, when you say that, your name is written in the book of life, it says, in heaven. You get to go. You got your ticket on the rapture train. I think it's exciting. Church, I'm going to ask for one more prayer. I just want you all to bow your head. I'm going to start to play softly at the piano. The band is, we're going to sing that song, the one that we just learned today, in closing. But before we start to sing it, I want you, church, to find 2-3 people. I want you to find a scrap piece of paper, and I want you to write their names down later. But I want you to pray for them today as if you think the Lord is coming before this service ends. I want you to pray for them as if God were already on his way, because I believe that he is coming that soon.